Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 5th of August, 2013, the podcast that tickles the ivory tower. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week is Jonathan Lochey. Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be back. Thanks for having me.
So we've been covering the goings-on down there in Florida about the ban on online gambling, which, as we covered before, seems to have inadvertently banned the internet and smartphones. So what's going on with it now?
Let me put it this way. So yeah, if you first time listening, we banned internet cafes because apparently gambling is illegal if it's for profit, but okay if you're saying it's for charity. Then we found out that we also had to ban Chuck E. Cheese.
Because they kept giving out prizes when you played their games.
Yes. So what has this new draconian law managed to accomplish? Well, really, not that much, as we're about 3-4 months from when this law was enacted, and a lot of the places are starting to just open back up. All they did was they redid the computer programs. Like, let's say, like, one of the programs was, like, basically just a video simulation of roulette. So now, instead of, you know, watching the little roulette ball go around on the screen, instead, it'll go onto the roulette wheel, and then, like, a bunch of colors will show up on screen, and then it'll reveal where the ball ended up.
Oh, geez.
And somehow that beats where the gambling law goes.
But the roulette wheel thing, though, is just an animation, right? I mean, the computer's already figured out where the ball's going, and it's just kind of making it more exciting or something.
Exactly. It shows just how pointless this ban was.
Yeah, and also something about the fact that they're paying out cash now. They get around the law that way.
Yeah, it used to be they would give out tokens, and then the tokens would be exchanged for cash. Now they're just taking out the middleman, and the machines just pay straight cash. The fact that the legislature can talk about one breath saying we're for jobs, we love growing the economy in Florida, when at the same time, what was one of the few industries that wasn't some you know, massively corporate-backed franchise that was taking off in Florida, a certain segment doesn't morally approve of it. Hey, we're going to go ban it and take the 15,000 jobs with it.
Well, that's kind of what we've come to expect from Florida anyway.
What did Robert Downey Jr. say in Tropic Thunder? Never go full retard. The Florida legislature went full retard with this bill. Freedom from oppression, my brothers and sisters.
Yeah, but you still can't use the internet.
That's the thing. I'm committing a felony right now. Think about that.
Well, we've also been following the Bradley Manning WikiLeaks story. And, of course, the big news is that the verdict in his trial came down this past week. And it's one of those good news, bad news situations. The good news is, military judge Denise Lind found him not guilty of aiding the enemy, which is the most serious charge against him, and could have gotten him the death penalty if he'd been convicted. As we reported earlier, the argument being made was iffy at best. They basically said that, since the documents were released on the internet, and the enemy has internet access, that he was giving these documents to the enemy. And I'm really glad the judge disagreed with that.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that he provided these documents to the American people to show war crimes, was the enemy the American people?
I don't know, maybe. Well, the bad news is he was found guilty on all 19 other counts.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, even though they were minor offenses, he could conceivably be sentenced to 136 years in prison, and that's if you do the maximum sentences and have him serve them consecutively.
Right. Well, hadn't he already confessed to about 6 or 7?
He had a plea deal with a few others. I forget how many.
Yeah. So, I mean, this isn't some giant victory for freedom ruling, but anyone else who is in Eric Snowden or Bradley Manning's shoes, it's enough to make them think twice. I just hope that somebody else does have the kind of courage that he or Snowden has.
Well, a lot of that's going to depend on how the sentencing hearing is going. And Brigadier General Robert Carr has already testified. He's the one who investigated the impact of the WikiLeaks disclosures for the DOJ, and he said they couldn't even find a single example of anyone losing their life or suffering any reprisals at all because of these documents being leaked. And, of course, that's been the thing that all the statist warmongers have been bleeding all about all this time. Oh, he put our soldiers in danger. There are going to be all these reprisals. Nope. No evidence of that happening to anyone. Not once. So even though Carr was a prosecution witness, this would seem to be good news for Manning. I mean, it's hard to get a judge to go whole hog on the sentencing if he can't demonstrate any actual harm.
Yeah, but sensitive military tribunal, sometimes those things don't go together.
That's true. But in either event, he'll have 1,274 days cut from his sentence. That's about 3.5 years. That includes 1,162 days of time served, plus 112 days in compensation for the unlawful pretrial punishment he received in solitary confinement. Sounds kind of cheap to me, but at least that's something.
Yeah, maybe the judge does find him lenient and he gets a 1,072-day sentence.
Yeah, maybe she sentences him to just enough that's that 1,274 days and he doesn't have to serve anymore. That's probably the best we can hope for here. Well, here's the thought I keep coming back to. If Manning gets off with a light sentence, he wins. If he gets off with a big sentence, he still wins. And think of everything that happened because all of the time Mohandas Gandhi spent in prison.
Mm-hmm. I mean, hey, Nelson Mandela. Man spent most of his formative years in prison.
Yeah. It all depends on how the American people react to it, and they have the courage to react the way they should. It could make all the difference for those future whistleblowers.
God knows we certainly need it. Hey, Bradley, you're in our thoughts, and hopefully you get through this, because you certainly deserve something.
Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy.com. I've been a satisfied GoDaddy customer for over 10 years now. Their prices are great, and their 24/7 support is second to none, so I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or many other services, and get 20% off by typing in the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet service. Get your own .com with a personalized email address or establish your online business in a snap, all for 20% off. And if you buy before June 30th, 2013, you'll get a whopping 35% off your order, and you'll help this podcast too. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Well, here's some news a lot of us were waiting for with trepidation. We know the NSA has been gathering all sorts of internet traffic over the years. The thing is, a lot of that's encrypted, and they can't read it because they don't have the private encryption keys of the various websites that people visit. So effectively, all they have are these large blobs of pseudo-random noise. So a lot of us have kind of been waiting around with bated breath for the government to request those encryption keys from the various websites. And it seems that they've done so now.
Oh, boy. They're just like a little spoiled child. Whatever they can't get their hands on, they immediately start throwing a tantrum.
Yeah. Now, so far, this is just a request. There aren't any websites that have been known to have actually complied with it. So as far as we know, all this traffic is safe. They can't decrypt it. But if you get just one website's private key, that lets it decrypt all of the transmissions they captured from that site during the time that key was valid.
Oh, Shane, it's just metadata.
Yeah. John Stossel's wondering what's the big deal.
You get enough metadata on anybody. Anybody who can figure out 2 + 2 can pretty much figure out, you know, what your entire day-to-day life is like.
Yeah. Well, and even if they just see the people that you talk to, the government has said that 3 degrees of separation between you and a terrorist and a known terrorist is enough to make you suspected. But if you do the math, that ends up being hundreds of millions of people that you're connected to by 3 degrees of separation.
I know. If you showed up at an Occupy rally or a Tea Party thing 2 years ago, hey, you're probably on a watch list.
Yeah, maybe. Well, a spokesperson for Microsoft wouldn't say if the government requested any of their keys, but did say, when asked if they'd turn over a private key, quote, "No, we don't. And we can't see a circumstance in which we would provide it." Google also said they'd never hand over those private keys as well. And when Sarah Feinberg of Facebook was asked, she said, quote, "We have not, and we would fight aggressively against any request for such information." However, so far there's been no response from Apple, Yahoo, AOL, Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner Cable, and Comcast.
Granted, didn't all these companies say the same thing before it came out that they have been providing it for years?
That's true, but at least then I think they were hedging it some, and they're being pretty definitive here.
Yeah.
What we really need, though, is universal adoption of perfect forward secrecy. As it is, no one can read these encrypted data streams unless they get the private keys, but with perfect forward secrecy, no one can read them even if they get the private keys. Because with perfect forward secrecy, that initial handshake is set up using temporary keys that are immediately discarded as soon as they're finished being used, so they no longer exist anywhere. So the way this works is the browser and the web server both have to be set up for it. And I know that Google and StartPage have enabled perfect forward secrecy on their servers, and Facebook just started using it as of last Wednesday, which was my birthday, so I'm considering that to be a nice birthday present from them, and hopefully a lot more will follow. Now, your browser needs to support it too, so if this is important to you, make sure you're running the latest Firefox, Chrome, or Opera, and whatever you do, don't use Internet Explorer. And Safari isn't that good either at this. So don't use IE, use one of those major browsers, Firefox, Chrome, or Opera, and keep it up to date. And then at least when you go to those particular websites, you'll have perfect forward secrecy. And that means if tomorrow, next year, 10 years from now, or whatever, you know, the NSA's captured all this data, you know, and they go to StartPage and say, give us your private key, and they go, well, okay, here you go, there it is. And they still, all they have is this, you know, pseudo-random noise that they can't decrypt. Well, coming on the heels of this, the U.S. government is demanding that internet companies turn over their users' passwords. Now, these companies don't actually have the passwords. What they have is the passwords encrypted with a one-way hash, which means there's no way to decrypt them. And what the software does is when you type in your password, it hashes that, and then it sees if those two hashes match. And they also have what's called a salt, which is really a random number, and it's just stuck onto the password. And that makes it harder to decrypt. The feds apparently have been asking for the encrypted password hashes and the salts. So it sounds like they're going to try and brute force decrypt these passwords.
Who cares about that little thing, the Fourth Amendment? We have to read every email.
Yeah.
What can you say at this point? I mean, it's blatant that they just want to grab every little bit of our personal lives.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, the technology companies are resisting this one as well. Microsoft responded pretty much verbatim the way they did with encryption keys. It might just be, you know, their policy they're reading from. Google and Yahoo both said they would deny such requests, but there was no response from Apple, Facebook, AOL, Verizon, AT&T, Time Warner Cable, and Comcast. But there were a couple of industry sources who spoke on condition of anonymity that said that companies routinely fight these requests, and one of them said, quote, "There's a lot of over my dead body." So it sounds like they're really drawing a line in the sand on this one.
Well, I think that with all the negative backlash that came from the Snowden leak, I mean, I imagine a lot of those companies, they don't want the egg on their face again.
Yeah. Well, also, like, if you're using Yahoo and Yahoo turns over passwords and Google doesn't, you're going to delete your Yahoo account and get Gmail, and they don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Maybe they just hire the guys from 4chan. They seem to know how to get passwords a lot quicker.
Yeah, they should recruit Anonymous. Well, I mean, even if they do get this, all they get is the encrypted password, and then they have to brute force it. So if your password is password, they can get it really quickly. But if you have this long mess of random letters, numbers, and symbols, that'll take a really long time, and it'd be so cost prohibitive for them to do this. And just take so much time that it wouldn't be worth it to them.
I don't think the words cost prohibitive and government go in the same sentence.
I don't know. I mean, it's not just cost as in, you know, hey, we'll just print up some more money and pay for it. This takes computing time. This takes resources. This takes personnel.
True.
But the bottom line is, use secure password. You should have been doing it anyway, so this is all the more reason to.
The government has to hack your personal life to protect you from the terrorists. Just remember that.
So here's hoping these technology companies keep resisting and keep updating everything to the latest encryption so it'll protect us from everyone, hackers, terrorists, and government. And now it's time to extradite this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week it goes to Senator Lindsey Graham, who's added an amendment to a spending bill that would direct Secretary of State John Kerry to issue sanctions against any country that gives asylum to NSA whistleblower Edward Snowden.
Oh, God.
Lindsey Graham is just one of those names you see pop up over and over again, isn't it?
What can you say at this point?
Well, I know what I have to say, because Snowden currently has temporary asylum in Russia. And I gotta say, as a Cold War kid, seems very Twilight Zone to me. Russia is granting political asylum to a government whistleblower from America.
Yeah, you know, the irony of that hasn't been lost on me. What's it going to take to wake people up?
Well, the bill isn't targeted against Russia, but Graham had a lot to say about Russia. Listen to this. Quote, "When it comes to Russia, it's not just about Snowden. They are allying with Iran. 100,000 Syrians have been killed. They are providing weapons to Assad that are getting in the hands of Hezbollah. And really, enough's enough." Yeah, unlike the U.S., which is falsely accusing Iran of having a nuclear weapons program and is providing weapons to al-Qaeda forces in Syria.
Now. Those are rebel forces against a tyrannical government. That's not al-Qaeda. Speaking of the Cold War, yeah, that or the fact that he's calling for the United States to boycott the 2014 Olympics.
Yeah, just like the Soviet Union boycotted the 1984 Los Angeles Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Round and round we go.
You would think at some point somebody with a bit of foresight would show up in Washington, but apparently that hasn't happened.
Well, then, of course, there's Graham's cowardice in just sticking this as a rider onto a spending bill instead of just proposing it outright.
How do you think anything gets done in Washington? The sludge has to keep moving somehow.
That's one more reason why we need the One Subject at a Time Act.
Mm-hmm.
It's been introduced, so write your congressman.
Oh, Lindsey Graham.
I tell you, only Lindsey Graham could possibly be this week's biggest bogon emitter. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's Liberty Classroom. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, Liberty Classroom teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects. And when you sign up, you'll get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. And now let's vaporize this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
And this week it goes to Bernie, I don't know his last name, but he does the Planck's Constant blog. And he posted an incredibly bogus and mind-bogglingly idiotic screed against vaping, which is the smoking of electronic cigarettes, which, of course, don't produce any smoke, so it's not really smoking. While we're looking at this, keep in mind, he calls himself a libertarian, right? Quote, "If they become popular enough, then imagine you're at a baseball game and a few thousand of the crowd are using these faux butts. How is security supposed to detect the real smokers among all the fakers? It's not practical to go up to every single person close enough to find out if they're using real cigarettes or not. The obvious and sane policy is to ban puffing on all things that even look like cigarettes in smoke-free zones."
Oh, God.
Really? So you want to restrict the activities of those who are abiding by the law just because you can't tell who's violating it?
Well, and not just that, I mean, you know, because supposedly, like, one of the main reasons that we banned smoking was because, you know, people saying secondhand smoke could cause cancer.
Right.
That's part of one of the reasons you have the supposed benefits of the electronic cigarettes is because it's basically, you know, nicotine and water.
Yeah.
There should be no reason to have the secondhand smoke.
Yeah, there are no carcinogens in it. But, you know, a lot of us at the time was saying that the whole secondhand smoke thing was just an excuse and they're really trying to regulate our lives and do social engineering. And oh, you wacky libertarians, we're not trying to do that. It's just because of the secondhand smoke. It's just because of the health issues. And remember people who you should have listened to in the past and think maybe they're the people you should listen to now.
Yeah. My generation is probably one of the first that grew up with the, oh, smoking is evil, blah, 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 blah. I would still say probably 20-30% of people I hang out with smoke. Despite all this propaganda, people still do it.
Yeah.
And like I said, with the e-cigarettes, I mean,
they're helping people quit smoking.
Yeah. You know, I thought about hypocrisy. I went to a minor league baseball game the other day. And one of the big selling points was, hey, yeah, the local hookah shop has a bunch of stuff set up on the second story balcony.
Yeah.
You can come to smoke hookah.
Yeah.
And they're going to say this is a smoke-free zone?
Yeah. Well, listen to this part. Quote, my state did the right thing by extending the New Jersey Smoke-Free Act to include electronic smoking devices. But how did they do the right thing banning smoking at all? I thought Bernie was supposed to be a libertarian. I mean, if he were, wouldn't he say, let property owners decide for themselves what to restrict and how they want to police it? Leave government out of it.
No. He would be the first one who thought that we should ban something he didn't like. Listen, I can get it. I can understand why somebody might not want to go to a place that allows smoking. But at the same time,
go somewhere else.
Exactly. Like, nobody's pointing a gun to your head to go to a place, and I want to say it was like 10 years ago Florida enacted a smoking ban. And even before then, you already saw an obvious, your family-friendly stuff is already trending towards not smoking or having like a dirty smoking section in the back of the restaurant type of thing.
Oh, that was even the case here in North Carolina growing up, you know, middle of tobacco country. Pretty much every restaurant had at least a non-smoking zone if they didn't just ban smoking outright. State didn't need to do any of that.
Yeah, so I think the crowd that's just like, oh my God, I saw one person smoking in that restaurant, and I immediately left.
Well, listen to his fail continue. Quote, children should not witness purposely lewd behavior, lest they grow up believing such behavior is proper. Likewise, children should not be exposed to smokers dragging on cigarettes, fake or not, lest they grow up believing that it's not a filthy, disgusting habit. Well, as much as I might agree that it's filthy and disgusting, who are we to force that opinion on others?
That's when you know he even knows his argument has failed, when he brings up the, we have to protect the children.
Oh, yeah. Well, and he even admits that this is guilt by association. In the comments, he wrote, quote, if real smoking never existed, then I would not call smoking e-cigs as disgusting. The problem with e-cigs is that they look like the real thing, and young people should not be misled into thinking that it is a good thing by seeing people smoking them in public.
God. And so where does this end? Like I said, cigarettes, e-cigarettes.
Fatty foods, big gulps.
Yeah, but what can you do?
Well, his final paragraph is more evidence of how libertarian he isn't. Quote, it is also why I am in favor of laws such as those passed in France and Belgium banning the wearing of Islamic veils in public. Children should not be exposed to the humiliation and oppression of women as if it were a proper and right thing. Okay, so to stop the oppression of women, you oppress them and prevent them from wearing whatever they want in public if it's an Islamic veil.
Mm-hmm. This is where I sometimes wonder, you know, atheists and some others, we almost turn into discrimination territory. You know, it's like, I want to help you by stripping away something that you find culturally appropriate that I don't.
Yeah. I mean, having these stupid and irrational opinions is bad enough. It's his claim to be a libertarian as well that pushes him over the top as this week's
Idiot Extraordinaire!
Well, that wraps up this Sometimes You Feel Like a Nut edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums of Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks once again to my co-host, Jonathan Lochey.
Great to be back.
Until next time, here's a quote from Mike Cross. So if you smoke or dip or chew, you'd better get your fill, because if tobacco don't get you, an anti-smoker will. The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 imported license.
Bogosity.
Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again.